Controlled legislature are costing the state jobs, lots of jobs, and we will talk about that after 7:30. First, we will talk with a guest about a controversy involving state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman. Justice Gableman accepted free legal services from a law firm that defended him against a past ethics complaint and has since gone on to hear cases and rule on cases that involve that law firm. Is there anything wrong with this? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our first guest on the State Capitol Report wants the state's Judicial Commission, which oversees the Judicial Code of Ethics, to investigate, and we will welcome your thoughts and questions for him. Mike McCabe is the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So why do you want the state's Judicial Commission to investigate this?
Well, we see at least three violations of the Judicial Ethics Code and also a violation of the general ethics code that applies to all government officials, including Supreme Court justices. So we filed a formal request for investigation with the Judicial Commission. We since have filed up followed up with a complaint to the State Government Accountability Board, which is responsible for enforcing the overall ethics code that applies to government officials in Wisconsin.
Okay, let's talk about the three violations of the judicial code that you think you have found.
Well, you know, first of all, the judicial ethics code says that a judge cannot accept a gift, anything for free, from someone who may appear before them in court. And Justice Gableman received free legal representation worth tens of thousands of dollars, and some observers say it may even top $100,000 over the course of more than 2 years from a law firm and specifically a lawyer who has since appeared before him in court. The law firm has been involved in some 9 cases that have been decided since that time by the state Supreme Court. Justice Gableman participated in all those cases and participated in ruling on all those cases. The firm still has at least 5 cases pending before the Supreme Court, and Justice Gableman hasn't shown any sign of stepping away from those cases. So the first, I think, very straightforward violation is just the acceptance of something free from someone who appears before the court. The second thing is related, and that's the obligation under the Judicial Ethics Code to disclose that kind of conflict of interest, disclose that financial arrangement, which Justice Gableman did not do in these cases that he participated in. The third thing that the Judicial Ethics Code calls on judges to do is recuse themselves, to remove themselves from cases if a reasonable person would believe that they may not be able to be impartial, that they have some relationship that would cause them to, you know, have a conflict of interest and thereby not be able to be seen as an impartial judge in these cases. And Justice Gableman didn't do that either. He participated in these cases and so far is showing signs of participating in 5 pending cases that are still before the court.
And what's the basis of the complaint with the GAB?
Well, the general state ethics code has a very sweeping gift ban. Public officials cannot accept free gifts from people, and so there also appears to be a pretty straightforward violation of the state ethics code. That's, of course, something that the Government Accountability Board is responsible for enforcing, not the Judicial Commission, so we filed a complaint with the GAB as well.
So what happens now? How long does this take?
Well, we filed these complaints with the hopes of triggering investigations. These agencies have the power to investigate and then take enforcement action. That's exactly what we want these agencies to do. We don't have a lot of experience with judicial misconduct cases because before 2007, there had never been a single case in the history of the state of Wisconsin of a Supreme Court justice, a sitting justice, being accused of judicial misconduct. Since 2007, we've actually had 3 such cases, In those cases, in the previous two, this is the third, I should say, in the previous two, it certainly took months. It doesn't take years, but it took months for an investigation to play out and for then enforcement decisions to be made. And the final arbiter in judicial misconduct cases is the Supreme Court itself. Now, it's far from ideal to have the Supreme Court sitting in judgment of one of its own members, but that's the system we've had in Wisconsin for a very long time. We didn't really have any reason to see any flaws in that system because we just didn't have judicial misconduct charges being brought against sitting justices. Now this is the third time in just a few years. And it puts the court in a very awkward position. It's less than ideal, but it's the system that we're stuck with.
Well, didn't the Supreme Court split 3-3 on a past judicial ethics complaint that is at the heart of this matter, that Justice Gableman had this law firm represent him in this this ethics code case involving an ad that he ran during his election?
Yeah, Justice Gableman was accused of judicial misconduct for an ad that his campaign aired that was found to be untruthful. And the Supreme Court did indeed get a judicial misconduct charge filed. The Judicial Commission found misconduct, filed a complaint, but the Supreme Court deadlocked 3-3, and so really left the matter hanging. Justice Gableman was not found guilty of judicial misconduct, but he also was never exonerated. He wasn't cleared of judicial misconduct. The case was just left hanging because the court couldn't come to a decision. It split 3-3. Now, the previous time was a complaint that we actually filed against Justice Annette Ziegler for economic conflicts of interest, and the Judicial Commission found judicial misconduct, filed a complaint, and the Supreme Court did find her guilty of judicial misconduct, but just reprimanded her. And so while we felt good about the fact that the court did find judicial misconduct and did take action, we were disappointed with the punishment. We didn't feel that the punishment fit the crime. And so, I think in both previous cases, the system has left something to be desired when it comes to taking action against a sitting Supreme Court justice. And I think it underscores the difficulty that you face when you have a system where the other members of the court have to sit in judgment of one of their own. It's a very difficult position for them to be put in.
Just a quick aside, Justice Ziegler was reprimanded for hearing cases involving a bank that her husband sat on the board of directors?
That was central to the case. We also found other cases where she ruled in situations where her family held significant amounts of stock in various companies that ended up appearing before her in circuit court. But a big part of that case had to do with her ruling on cases involving the West Bend Savings Bank, on which her husband sat on the board of directors. So we saw a number of cases where she had pretty clear conflicts of interest. She should have disclosed those conflicts. She should have then recused herself and removed herself from any participation in the cases. She didn't do those things. We alleged judicial misconduct, and she indeed was found guilty. First time ever in the state of Wisconsin.
Back to Justice Gableman, though. He says he did not get free legal help, that the law firm that worked with him was working with him on a contingency arrangement, and because he didn't win or lose this case, there was no fee was granted to the law firm. What do you make of that?
Well, the firm has given conflicting accounts of what the situation was. The attorney, Eric McLeod, initially told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that the firm had a normal billing arrangement with Justice Gableman and that Justice Gableman had paid the bill. That was reported in the newspaper. And then later, the general legal counsel for the law firm wrote a letter to the state Supreme Court backing off that and saying that actually they had sort of a contingency fee arrangement and Justice Gableman wouldn't have to pay unless he had been able to recover fees which he had not been able to do, and so he was never charged. He never paid the bill, as was initially claimed. And so, you know, the problem is that maybe this firm has had this kind of relationship with other clients, but other clients aren't sitting judges, and the judicial ethics code clearly says that judges can't take something for free from somebody who appears before them in court. So in this case, the arrangement was a situation that really it was an improper arrangement to have with a judge who's subject to the judicial ethics code. And it's pretty clear cut in our view that he received free legal representation. He hasn't paid for it to this day. The other thing that we looked at was whether there was any effort made by the law firm or the justice to go to the state claims board and seek reimbursement for these fees. And there was never any effort on either party's part to get compensation from the state claims board. And that was months and months after the case had been concluded and this firm's representation of Justice Gableman had stopped. There didn't appear to be any effort to get reimbursement for the fees. So it really, that also made the whole arrangement look very suspect in our eyes, because it looked like it was simply an arrangement for free legal representation, and the chances that Michael Best and Friedrich, the law firm, would ever see a dime seemed so remote that it looked like a very suspect arrangement, and certainly not one that is in keeping with the state judicial ethics code.
We're talking with Mike McCabe. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. The Wisconsin Democracy Campaign is calling for an ethics probe of Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman. We're talking about why, and we're wondering what you think of this. Is this a big deal or not, as far as you're concerned? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be sunny, breezy, with increasing clouds in the afternoon. Highs today from around 40 in the north to the upper 40s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up in our next half hour, a look at the job numbers in Wisconsin. My next guest says that the policies put in place over the last year by the Walker administration are hurting the employment outlook for the state. That's coming up after 7:30. Right now, we're wondering if you think there's anything wrong with a state Supreme Court justice receiving free legal services from a law firm, and then hearing and ruling on cases that were argued by the same law firm. We are talking with a guest from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign that thinks so and has requested that the state's Judicial Commission, which oversees the state's Judicial Ethics Code, investigate this issue. And Mike McCabe, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, our guest, has also filed a complaint with the Government Accountability Board over this issue. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And Mike McCabe, you mentioned that Justice Gableman did hear a number of cases. I think you said 9 cases that were involved this law firm where he received the free legal services from. But he didn't rule in their favor every time. I thought it was like 5-4, I mean, like split, that he didn't always rule in the favor of his law firm. So doesn't that kind of put a damper on this investigation?
Well, the other thing you have to consider, though, is that he ruled in favor of this law firm's client more than any other member of the Supreme Court. So, you know, that creates an appearance that he indeed did favor this law firm's clients, because he ruled in favor of those clients more than any other member of the court. And I guess the bottom line is that you still have to look at the appearance of favoritism that's created when a judge has a financial relationship or some conflict of interest with one side in a case. You have to take into consideration what the other side must feel. They look at this and they see a firm that has represented the judge and then comes to find out that that the firm represented the judge for 2 years, tens of thousands of dollars worth of legal representation, and did so for free. That's going to create an appearance of favoritism that will make them say, well, did we really get a fair shake? And particularly when they look at the record and they see that this particular judge ruled with that firm more than any of the other six members of the court. So all of that is part of what we looked at. But really, the bottom line is that the Judicial Ethics Code does draw some very bright lines. It says that you can't take something for free from somebody who appears before you in court. You have to disclose such relationships. He didn't do that. He didn't even note any of this assistance on his economic statement of interest that has to be filed every year with the Government Accountability Board. That's one of the things that we allege with respect to the complaint that we filed with the GAB, is that he's required to disclose these kinds of economic interests on a form that's filed every year. There's no mention of this law firm or of this relationship on his form. We feel that that's a violation. So, you know, the code very clearly maps out what a judge is to do, and we feel he failed to do that. But still, when you think about what the average citizen thinks or what even the other side in a case would think, you know, it's pretty easy to see how feelings that he would have, he would favor this firm would certainly be lingering in their minds.
Larry in Madison is our first caller on this. Hi, Larry.
Good morning.
Morning.
What I think is that what Gableman has done is serious, partly because it brings into question the legitimacy of the judicial branch of government. This comes at a time when Newt Gingrich and other conservatives are viciously attacking the judiciary, largely because jurors aren't on the take from lobbyists. Thank you.
Oh, well, don't want to take the focus too much off of this particular case, but it does hurt our trust in the court system.
Well, you know, and I think that's one of the ultimate reasons that we have these very clear lines drawn in the Judicial Ethics Code, because this conduct is really reckless behavior that doesn't only cast a cloud over Justice Gableman, but it does cast a cloud over the entire court. And since this is the state Supreme Court we're talking about, it then sort of colors people's perceptions of Wisconsin's judiciary as a whole. If people believe that judges are willing to rule on cases when they have flagrant conflicts of interest, if they believe that maybe they're showing favoritism toward one side, that undercuts the public's ability to have faith in the impartiality and the independence and ultimately the integrity of the Supreme Court and the judicial system. So this has implications for the entire court system, not just for Justice Gableman. That's why we believe that this was the kind of reckless behavior that he has to be held accountable for.
Thank you, Larry. Bruce in Madison is with us now. Hello, Bruce.
Good morning. I can't even believe we're asking the question whether it's an ethics violation or not. Between Judge Prosser on the Supreme Court, you know, apparently, you know, at least being alleged to have choked another Supreme Court justice because she didn't agree. Now we have this thing where, you know, the judge is obviously has a huge ethics violation. I mean, these people, both judges, in my opinion, ought to be impeached. This is beyond the pale, and it does undermine our entire judicial system.
All right. Mike McCabe, your reaction to that?
Well, it has been a rocky several months for the Supreme Court. You know, when you've got a situation where antagonism or discord on the court actually escalates to a physical confrontation, that sends a clear signal to people that not all is not well in the court chambers, and that had a damaging effect on the public's perception of the court itself. You then add to that the fact that just since 2007, you've had the first three judicial misconduct cases brought against sitting members of the Supreme Court. It's been a bad few years in terms of the court's reputation, and this is a court that used to be seen as one of the finest, if not the finest, high courts in the entire nation. This court was seen as a model in terms of its behavior and its conduct. It was really seen as a superlative high court in our nation, and it's been a very bad few years, really, since 2007. We've seen one incident after another that has called into question the court's independence and its impartiality and its ability to function as a court. And you know, when you've even got physical altercations, those are just very troubling signs. This is one more troubling sign, what we have with Justice Gableman here.
I'm wondering, Mike McCabe, if you have a reaction to the Dane County District Attorney last week saying that he might consider bringing a case back before the courts, the collective bargaining case. It's actually, I believe, the case that that was challenging the state's open records law or open meetings law that was eventually ruled against. And he thinks maybe he ought to bring that back based on this conflict?
Absolutely not surprising at all. I have to believe that not only in that case where the court ruled 4-3 upholding the collective bargaining law, when a lower court had struck the law down on the grounds that it was illegally passed, that it was passed in a way that was not in keeping with the open meetings law, so the lower court struck it down. The Supreme Court reversed that decision and upheld it on a 4-3 vote, Justice Gableman ruling in the majority. You know, that the other side is going to look at that and say, hey, but that case was decided by a judge who had a severe conflict of interest and shouldn't have been participating. So that case should be reheard. I have to imagine that a number of these cases, the other side is going to look at that and say, wait a second, our case was wrongly decided. Those rulings should be vacated or voided, and we should have a rehearing. And you're seeing it on a number of these cases now you've got a number of recall groups saying that this redistricting case that is pending before the court, that Justice Gableman should have to step away from that. That's exactly the problem that Justice Gableman has created for the whole court here. He has cast some major doubt over whether rulings have been properly reached and whether cases can go forward with him participating. I think you're going to see this over and over again in cases that have already been decided or cases that are pending before the court because of what he's done here.
Well, it'll be a close one to watch. Thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Joy. Good to be with you.
Mike McCabe, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Coming up, after we check the latest news, we will talk with a guest who says that the Walker administration policies are hurting the state.